Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're trying to speak a few more things today about the esoteric significance of Jagannath Puri Dham. I have to beg apology, I'm not a proper speaker. But we're just doing it out of some service to our Gurujanas to try to repeat what they've spoken. The words don't belong to us. So on our first day, we spoke something about the Purva Paksha, the opposing arguments, what some people consider to be Jagannath Puri, and how some people, they consider Puri to be like Mathura or Dwarka, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. But when he seems to leave, it's his Vasudeva expansion that goes to Mathura. So they say that similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never leaves Navadvipa, which is not different from Vrindavan. But when he seems to, he goes to Dwarka, which goes to Jagannath Puri, which is like Mathura. And just as Krishna stayed in the house of Kubja in Mathura, that same Kubja came as Kashyamishi in Gauralila, and Mahaprabhu stayed in her house in Puri. And just as Krishna was taken away from Braj, by Akura, that same Akura came in Gauralila's Kesava Bharati and took Mahaprabhu out of Navadvipa by giving him sannyas. So for these reasons, some people, they try to say that Jagannath Puri is like Dwarka. But as we described that first day, we don't find that idea satisfying, because it leaves many questions unanswered. Because as we read, Kaviraj Goswami, he describes that Mahaprabhu, he fulfilled his three desires, Sri Yadaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrusovana Yaiva, in Jagannath Puri, not in Vrindavan, not in Navadvipa, but in Puri. And the ecstasies that Mahaprabhu experienced, as we read from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, are not found anywhere else. Not in Vrindavan even, not in Navadvipa. Very amazing ecstasies. So yesterday then we went on to speak something about how Mahaprabhu, on his way to Puri, he first stopped in Bhubaneswar. And we spoke something about the significance of Lingaraj, the presiding deity in Bhubaneswar, and how Lingaraj, he is conceived by different persons in different ways. The Hindus, he's Lingaraja, he's the king of the Dudas Lingas. And for some Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they see him as the personality that Mahaprabhu worshipped on his way to Puri. Others see him as the gatekeeper to Puri. But it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who specifically described him as being Gopishwar Mahadev. So we described how there are different doorways that we can go into a place. Puri is such a place, there's so many different directions and ways one can enter that place. But we want to enter through the conception of our previous acharyas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed us that we should first enter through the mercy of Lord Shiva. And according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he says that the Rupanuga Vaishnavas, they see Lingaraj as Gopalini Shakti. So we want to conceive Gopishwar Mahadev in that way and go through that door, that entrance in the Jagannath Puri. And then when we go through that door, we'll find again there are many other doors. We have to pick another door to go through to come a little closer. And then at that time, we want to go through the door known as Satyabhamapur, because we want to follow the conception of Srila Rupa Goswami. And it was in Satyabhamapur that Radha, Satyabhama, came to Rupa Goswami and directed him that he should write two dramas, Alip Madhav and Vidagdha Madhav, describing Krishna's Braj Leela and Krishna's Dwarka Leela, respectively. And then we described something how when Rupa Goswami went to Puri, he found that instruction that he received in a dream from Satyabhama Radha was confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gave him the same instruction. Only at that time he told him, hey, Vrindavana Pratyaga Parigam Nagachati, don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami composed Lita Madhav. And as we described yesterday, then in the third act, he has Akura come and take Krishna away from Vrindavan. And we gave a synopsis yesterday of the entire Lalita Madhava, and raised the question, how is it that we say Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Stapitam Yenabhuta, that Rupa Goswami, he knows the Mano Abhishtha of Mahaprabhu, but how do we understand that then he's gone and disobeyed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disobeyed his instruction, when Mahaprabhu told him, don't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. And he writes the most wonderful drama, Lalita Madhava, where Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and out of separation from him, Radharani and Lalita commit suicide in the Jamuna. And then Kalindi Devi, the Jamuna, she gives Radharani to the sun god. And then Radharani gives, the sun god gives Radharani and the jewel, which she gives him, to his devotee Satrajit. And that jewel becomes known as the Shyamantaka jewel. And then all the gopis are kidnapped and taken away in different places. Krishna's gone. There's no way to protect them. Krishna goes to Kundina, and on the request of two of his devotees, he kidnaps Rukmini Devi, who's actually Chandravali. And then on the request of Maharaj Bhishmaka, he marries her on the condition that he not marry anyone else. So now Radharani's gone, and Krishna's married Chandravali. It's a very difficult situation. So how to resolve all that? Later in Dwarka, when Satyajit gives Satyabhama and the Shyamantaka jewel to Krishna, then Radha and Krishna meet in Navabrindavan in this garden that was created by Vishvakarma in Dwarka. And a very wonderful meeting. We describe something about that. And then at the very last act of the Lalita Madhava, the 10th act, Krishna offers a boon, a blessing to Radharani. And Radharani, she simply requests that, please, my request is that you come back to Vrindavan, that you never leave Vrindavan. And Krishna doesn't say anything. He just looks to the east. And then at that time, Gargi, the daughter of Gargamuni, and Ekanamsa Subhadra, they show up. And Ekanamsa, she says, actually, you never left Vrindavan. All of this is just a dream. I created all this thing as some drama. You've been in Vrindavan this entire time. So we left off on that note yesterday. Now we have a few different strings which are a little bit loose. And we want to try to draw them together. The first thing we'd like to do is we'd like to recount a story, a very wonderful story, which is told in Orissa. It's been handed down in Orissa for a long time. Probably this story comes from a book called Mahabhav Prakash, the Kanai Kuntia. That Mahabhav Prakash is no longer, we can't find a complete edition of that book. But this particular story is well known to many pandas and different people in Orissa. And this book, Mahabhav Prakash, some portions of it have been found. Fakir Mohan Prabhu recovered some of that. But many verses are lost, whole chapters are gone. And this book describes something of the same nature of this story. The story, according to the book, Kanai Kunti, he's one of the dear associates of Mahaprabhu, who's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. According to Kanai Kunti, he heard from Roy Ramananda, who described to him the contents of this book. So we think perhaps the story came from there. This story was very dear to our spiritual master. As we were describing in the last few days, Krishna reciprocates with his devotees in the same way that they approach him. Yayatam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. As someone approaches him, he reciprocates accordingly. That's his promise. And we describe the pariham nirvajisam yujo, the gopis, they broke that promise. But don't think that when we hear about the gopis feeling intense pangs of separation here in Vrindavan, that Krishna wasn't feeling anything in Dwarka. Just as the gopis were feeling great separation from Krishna, Krishna was similarly feeling great separation from the gopis. And just as the gopis were not sleeping, they were simply crying and crying in separation from Krishna, Krishna also was exhibiting similar symptoms. And at night, when he's laying in bed with his different queens, the Maheshis of Dwarka, they would hear Krishna in his sleep crying. And Krishna would cry out, Gopi, Gopi, Radhe, Radhe. This is described by Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
And it's described that once Krishna was feeling so much separation from the gopis that he fainted and fell unconscious. Word quickly spread throughout Dwarka that Krishna had fallen unconscious. And all the Dwarka Basis, or dear devotees of Krishna, Krishna for them is dearer than their own life, immediately came to that place in great anxiety. And Narad Muni was there, Uddhava was there, different devotees. And they proposed to Narad Muni, they said that, Baba, you should sing some Braj Lila Kahani on your Veena. And if you do that, then certainly Krishna, he'll revive external consciousness. Because Krishna's feeling separation from Braj and the gopis. So Narad Muni, he said, yes, I can do this. I can pray this, play this Braj Lila Kahani. He said, but one problem is there. He said, if we do that, then Krishna will regain external consciousness and immediately he'll want to return to Vrindavan. So they said, yes, we should call for Daruka, Krishna's chariot driver, have him fix up Krishna's chariot, get everything ready. Krishna's going to return to Vrindavan. But Narad Muni said, no, there's another problem. We can't say what will happen if Krishna returns to Vrindavan and sees the condition of the Brijbasis. Srila Sanatana Goswami. He describes that in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that although some people, they say that the Brijbasis were feeling separation from Krishna, he says that's not the fact. He said actually, it was Krishna who was feeling separation from the Brijbasis. And it was Krishna who couldn't live without the Brijbasis. So for Krishna, Krishna na braja jana, Krishna na braja jana kila mohitaste, Krishna na braja jana kila mohitaste, tai savya mohi bhagavan iti satyameva, gatva mayaiva sahi vismita deva karyo, nusmarita kimiti kritya maho katanchit. He says that Krishna na Brajajana Kila. The Brajbasis, they were not enchanted by Krishna, Mohitaste. Rather, Tai Savyomi Bhagavaniti Satyameva. It was Krishna who was enchanted by them. So much so that he even forgot his mission as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Narad Muni had to go there and say, hey Krishna, remember there's a reason why you came, you know, the work in the office. You have to do this thing, you have to go kill the demons and then do these works. And Krishna said, yeah, that's right. He's very sad. So Narad Muni said that if Krishna returns to Braj now, we can't say what will happen to him. Because in Braj, everyone is dying in separation from Krishna. Everyone has stopped cooking. The Jamuna River is practically dried up. All the grass in Braj is dried up. The cows are not eating, they're simply standing and looking in the direction where Krishna left on the chariot of Akura. So that the gopis have become so thin in separation from Krishna that the rings in their little fingers become like bangles on their wrists. And the mother Yashoda is simply passing her time weeping and weeping. So Narad Muni said, we can't say what will happen if Krishna goes back and he sees them in this condition. So I think that someone has to go there to give some advance notice. He said, so Uddhava, you're Krishna's dear devotee. You should go there. Krishna already sent you with a message of love for the Brijbasis. You should go there and give them this message. And Uddhava said, but you're right, but I can't. Because previously I went there and I promised them, I told them that Krishna's going to return. And now Krishna never returned. And now if I go there, they're going to say, you lied. You're a liar, Uddhava. We won't believe you. So I can't go there. So they said, Balaram, Dauji, you should go. You're Krishna's elder brother. Krishna also sent you with some messages to pacify the gopis of Braj. And Balaram, he also said, I also can't go. Because I promised them also, I promised Yashoda that I would return with Krishna. He said, Krishna has always been very obedient to me, always listens to me, but this time when I went back and I told him, I said, Krishna, immediately, you should leave everything. Stop everything here in Dwarka and return to Braj. They're going to die. They're going to die if you don't return. He said, but Krishna, for some reason, he wouldn't listen to me. And so if I go, they also won't believe me. Then Subhadramai, she spoke up. And she said, I'll go. I'll go. And I'll go to each one of the gopis and I'll take their hands in my hand. And I'll tell them that Krishna is coming. I'll tell Yashoda, Krishna is coming. And Balaram's coming just now. So many kings on the way. They were offering artik to him, so he's a little held up, but he's on his way just now. I'll tell them, because they'll listen to me. Because men are a little bit crooked. But women, they're very simple. So when I go there, they'll believe me. They'll listen to me. So everyone said, yes, this is a very good idea. And Balaram became very excited. Yes, Subhadra's going to go and Krishna's going. I also want to go. So they made up Balaram's chariot. And Balaram got on his chariot. Subhadra got on her chariot. This is Rath Yatra. Traditionally in Rath Yatra, Balaram goes first, followed by Subhadra. And then Krishna, Jagannath, comes last. So then they set out on their way to Braj. And then they were going and they came to Braj and they had so many plans to give some words of consolation to the Brajbasis. But when they got there and they saw the condition that the Brajbasis were in, they became stunned in ecstasy, known as Mahabhav Prakash. And their arms and legs shrunk into their body. And their eyes became very big. And their mouth, big smile. And they fell unconscious because there's no difference between the inside and the outside of Balaram and Subhadra. So they couldn't give any message to the Brajbasis. Meanwhile in Dwarka, Narad Muni began to play his Brajlila Kahani on his Veena. And Krishna regained external consciousness. And sure enough, he immediately jumped up. He said, hey, where's my flute? Someone's stolen my flute. Those gopis, they must have done this thing. And he's looking around. Say, hey, Uddhava, you're here in Vrindavan. How did you get here? And he looks over. Narad Muni, you're also here. What are you doing in Vrindavan? What's going on? And then they say, Dide. It's okay. He said, actually, you're not in Vrindavan. You're in Dwarka. And then Krishna began to cry. And he said, well, we have your chariot ready. Please, you go now. So Krishna jumped on that chariot and they began to go at the speed of the wind. Meanwhile, in Braj, Radharani was also feeling separation from Krishna. And she'd gone to the place known as Nidivan, which is just over near to the temple of Radharaman. You may have been there. In that place, Radha and Krishna performed Nisant Lila, their evening pastimes. So Radharani had gone to that place and she was in a dying condition. She's laying on the lap, the head in the lap of Lalita Sakhi. And word quickly spread throughout Braj that Radharani was dying. So for all the Brajbasis, there's no life, there's no nothing without Radharani. If you go to Ekachakra, everyone there, they all say, Jai Nitai. And if you go to Navadvip, everyone says, Hari Bol. If you go to Jagannath Puri, everyone says, Jai Jagannath. And in Vrindavan, everyone says, Jai Radhe. Because Radharani, she's the mistress of Vrindavan, even more than Krishna. So many people were coming there. And Radharani's so-called husband, Ayan Ghosh, Abhimanyu, he also came there. And he began crying. And he put his head on the feet of Radharani. And he said, some people, they say that you're my wife, but I never touched you. There's some Puranic description and some local traditions that at the time of Ayan Ghosh's marriage to Radharani, there was some curse and his male genitals fell off. And he became a little shy. after that to come around Radharani. So he would always make some excuse and he wouldn't go there. He'd always take care of the cows or doing something or other. So he said, I never ever touched you. Uh-huh. And it's described actually that Ayan Ghosh, he's a shadow of Krishna. He's an expansion of Krishna to perform some special pastimes. He said, but Radhe, he said, please don't leave. So then next came Kutila, the crooked sister-in-law of Radharani. And she came there and she also was crying. And she said, hey Radhe, don't leave. She said that always I was criticizing you and calling you asati, that you are unchaste. She said once when Krishna had his bhava rog, he had this sannyas rog, he had this fever, he was going to take sannyas. And they asked him what could cure him of this jwara, this fever. Krishna said that only some water which is carried in a pot that has 1,000 holes in it, is brought from the Jamuna. And if that water is carried on the head of a perfectly chaste lady, then not one drop will fall out. So everyone said, yes, Kutila, you should go, you should do. Because always she was waving the banner, I am very chaste, and all these other ladies in Braj, ha! They're very nonsense, they're not chaste whatsoever. Always I was criticizing you, Radharani, Kutila said. So very proudly, I went there to the Jamuna, and I took that pot of water, I filled it up with water, and I put it on my head, and then I got a big bath. It was immediately all the water came out. And she became very embarrassed. Huh? And then they called for you. And I said, how Radharani can do this thing? Always she's going off with that Krishna, that Lampata, that Dubauchi. She's not chaste in my brother. But you went there, Radhika. You went to that river and you put that pot in the water. And it's described in the Ramanda Purana that when you did that thing, you chanted the name of Krishna. And that Krishna himself appeared in that pot and blocked up all those little holes. And then, that's a side detail, but she didn't actually say that, but anyway. And then she put that pot in her head and not one drop came out. And she took that water to Krishna and Krishna's sannyas robe went away. So please don't leave Radharani. Then Chandravali came and Chandravali was also crying. And she said, hey Radhe. She said, you're my sister cousin. Sometimes people, they think that there's some competition between you and I, but there's no competition. Krishna only comes to my kunja when he wants to raise your man, your loving anger, when he wants to see your ecstatic loving anger with him. And he relishes that. And as we described yesterday, sometimes Krishna is seeing Chandravali, he's reminded of Radharani. And Krishna is so much in love with Radharani, he becomes bewildered even seeing a champak mala, a garland of champak flowers, because he reminds me of Radharani. And what to speak of seeing Chandravali and the other gopis. Krishna only spends time with them because they remind him of Radharani. Chandravali told her, she said, there's no competition between you and I. Please don't leave. So then suddenly Krishna came in that place on his chariot, going very, very fast. And Krishna jumped off the chariot. And he's chanting, hey Radhe, Dehi Padapallava Pluvam. He said, you please give me your feet, Radharani. And then Krishna, he saw Radharani. And then suddenly Krishna became completely ecstatic. Seeing the ecstatic loving ecstasy that Radharani was in, Krishna also reciprocated, Yayatamam Prapadyante, Tam Sataim Bhajamyam. And Krishna fell unconscious on the ground. And his arms and legs shrunk in his body and his eyes became very big. And this is a form of Mahabhav Prakash. This is the embodiment of the topmost ecstasy of love of God known as Mahabhav. So in this situation, the hero and the heroine are both laying there in Nirvan, both unconscious. Then at that time, Vrinda Devi, she rendered some service and she sent a nice breeze. And that wind carried the aroma of Krishna's body to the nostrils of Radharani. And Radharani immediately regained external consciousness. On the lap of Lalita. And then, seeing Krishna's condition, she sent her Pranasakhi Vishakha and told her, you go give the medicine to Krishna to wake him up. So Vishakha is very expert. She knows just the exact medicine to give to Krishna. She went to Krishna and she whispered in Krishna's ear, Radhe, Radhe. Huh? And then Krishna regained external consciousness. And there was eye-to-eye union after such a long period of time. And then Krishna told Radharani, he said that to commemorate this pastime, myself and my brothers, Balaram, my sister Subhadra, will maintain these forums, these Mahabhav Prakash forums in Jagannath Puri. This Jagannath form of Krishna is known as Radha Viraha Vidura Roop. It's the embodiment of separation from Srimati Radharani. That's the form of Lord Jagannath. And therefore he's also known as Madhurja Rasa Ganayati Srimurti Jagannath. He's a condensed form of the conjugal mellow. If you cook milk down, cook it down, cook it down, it becomes very thick and sweet. It becomes burfi. So that's like Jagannath. If you cook down this Madhurja Rasa, it becomes very, very thick. That's Mahabhav Prakash. That's Lord Jagannath. And Jagannath told her, he said that there in Jagannath Puri, which is Vipralamba Ketra, the place of separation, we'll have an unusual meeting. When in Kali Yuga, you and I come in a combined form, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Viraha Vidura Roop. The form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the embodiment of separation from Krishna. So these two opposites, Radha Viraha Vidura Roop, Jagannath, the embodiment of separation from Radharani, and Krishna Viraha Vidura Roop, Mahaprabhu, they have a very strange meeting, very wonderful meeting in Jagannath Puri Dham. So these different dhams have different purposes. We described something about that in the beginning. And we described how Jagannath Puri Dham is seen and understood in so many different ways by so many different persons. And they're not incorrect. But Jai Rupa Chinti Dasi Sehi Rupa Hoy. According to the conception of the devotee, they'll see a particular aspect of the Dham. But as we describe, we want to understand what is the conception of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the very topmost valuable treasure of our Gaudiya Guru Varga, of the spiritual masters in this line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is understand the mood, the emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the relish that thing. So we describe that if we want to understand Mahaprabhu, we have to understand something about Srimati Radharani. And we cited one pramana in that regard from the Garga Sanhita about Radharani's mood toward the holy Dham. And Radharani, she says, Yatra bindabano nasti, yatra no jamana nadi, yatra no gobardhanadi, gobardhanasti, tatra me namana sukham. I have no manasuk, no happiness, where there's no Vrindavan forest, where there's no Jamuna river, and there's no Gobardhan hill. So we can say that Jagannath Puri, it's a nice place, and it's a place where Mahaprabhu went, and it's a place of Mahabhav, Prakash, Leela, and so many things, but still it's not completely satisfying. It doesn't answer all the questions, because Kaviraj Goswami says that Mahaprabhu, he fulfilled all three of his desires in Jagannath Puri. But Mahaprabhu's desire is to taste Radha Bhav. And in connection with the Dham, Radharani's mood is this: Yatra Vrindavano Nasti, Yatra No Jamana Nadi, Yatra No Gobrida Nasti, Tatra Me Namana Sukham. I have no happiness where these three places are not present. I don't want to go there. But Mahaprabhu was relishing like anything in Puri more even than he was relishing in Vrindavan. Although Kaviraj Goswami says, as we cited, that his ecstasy increased 100 times as soon as he started for Vrindavan. It increased 1,000 times when he entered Mathura, and increased 100,000 times when he entered Vrindavan. But as we described, he didn't stay here. And the ecstasies that he exhibited in Vrindavan were not the same as the ecstasies he exhibited in Jagannath Puri, where he melted stone, where water shot from his eyes like a syringe, where blood came from his body, where the limbs of his body shrunk into himself in the karma rupa form, where they elongated. So what is Jagannath Puri? It's described by Srinath Chakravarti. He's a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Arajo Bhagavan Brajesatanayastadhama Vrindavanam. The topmost abode is Vrindavan Dham. The topmost manifestation of the Lord is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And he says that this is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and nothing else. So what is the nature, what is the mystery of Jagannath Puri? What is its connection with Vrindavan? What is its connection with Navadvipa? Vrindavan Dham is Madhurya Dham. It's a place of sweetness. It's a place of Milan, of union, where Radha and Krishna are united together. Navadvip Dham is a place of separation. And in Navadvip, it's known as Odharja Dham. It's a place of munificence, a place of kind generosity, mercy. And what is Jagannath Puri Dham? If we analyze that Dham, we can see that three things are present there. That there in that place, there's opulence, Aishvarya. And there in that place is munificence, Odharja. And in that place, there's Madhurja, sweetness. If we wanted to elaborately analyze that, it would take a long time. We can try to touch on a few things. If we want to understand the nature of Jagannath Puri Dham, a very good place to start is Brihad Bhagavatamrita from Srila Sanatana Goswami. Because Brihad Bhagavatamrita is our roadmap. Just like if you want to try to drive from Rameshwaram to Delhi, you need a good roadmap, which will take you along all the roads and show you properly how to go. So similarly, on our way back to the spiritual world, we have a roadmap provided to us by our kind Acharya, Srila Sanatana Goswami, known as Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he describes the journey of Gopakumar and how Gopakumar is going to so many places. He begins in Vrindavan, he's a cowherd boy, born at Govardhan. And his Guru Maharaj comes and gives him this mantra, this Gopal mantra. He doesn't even know who Gopal is, but he chants this mantra. And then amazing things start happening. Because he's chanting this mantra. Even he doesn't understand who is the Ishtadev, but he goes so many different places. He ends up going to Jagannath Puri, and he becomes very ecstatic in Puri. And he leaves Puri, and it's described that later he goes to Indralok, and he sees Upendra there, the form of the Supreme Personality of God, and he becomes overjoyed. But it wasn't completely satisfying for him. So he left and he went to Maharlok and Tapalok and all the different Brahmalok, all the different places. And each place he saw a different manifestation of the Lord. And each place he became happy initially. But after some time he felt dissatisfied. And finally he left and went beyond the Viraj and he went to Shivalok. But even in Shivalok he wasn't satisfied. And Shivji told him, hey, you see these Vishnu Dutas. You should go with them to Vaikuntha. So he went to Vaikuntha and he became very, very ecstatic there. He saw his Lord sometimes with the cows and with Lakshmi Devi there. And he became ecstatic and he started running to the Lord to embrace him. And then some of the people there, they said, hey, what are you doing? We don't do that here. We should be proper. It's like standing and hearing the choir in some big Christian church or something, you know, very formal and opulent. So Gopakumar, he was doing like that. And then in the evening, sometimes he would go to see his Lord. And he was so happy spending time with his Lord. And it was getting late, night was coming, all the other devotees had left. And Lakshmi Devi, she's looking at her watch. What is he still doing here? Finally, someone has to come and tell him, hey, you have to go now, it's time for Lakshmi to be alone with the Lord. And Gopakumar became very sad. And Gopakumar thought, there's something wrong with me. I'm just pagal. I'm just a crazy fellow. Because although I'm in this topmost abode, I don't feel satisfied. So Krishna, he's Adi Guru, as we were describing earlier today. He's Samasti Guru. And he knows the heart of his devotees. So he always is there to help the devotees. So he sent Narad Muni. And Narad Muni went there and said, "Hey, Gopa Kumar, come here." They took him off to a quiet place and said, "Look, you don't belong here." Gopa Kumar hadn't even changed his clothes. And he's still wearing his cowherd outfit from Govardhan. They were all telling him, "Hey, look, you should put on these two arms, have four arms. And you should put on this very opulent dress." Gopa Kumar said, "I don't like that. I like my rope for catching the cows and my stick and my cowherd boy dress. This is my Gopal he wears." So he didn't fit in very good in that place. And Narad Muni told him, "Look, you can't stay here. You're going to cause some trouble." So just like Maharaj is always causing trouble. he said, "So you have to go somewhere else." He says, "Better than this place is Ayodhya. You go to Ayodhya, you'll be happy there." So he went there and he saw Lord Ram. And there's some Sambrahma Sakya, some Sakyaras, which has some intimacy there. But that Sakyaras there is also mixed with some Aishvarya. And after some time, he wasn't completely satisfied there either, because he saw that everybody was afraid of Lord Ramachandra. Even though they were friends with him, still Sugriva and Hanuman and the others, they were also afraid of Lord Ram. He was their dear friend, but they were also afraid of him. So again, Narad Muni came and said, "Oh God, you're causing trouble again." "All right." He said, "Better than this, you should go to Dwarka." So he went to, he said, "Is there a better place than this?" "Yes, yes, Dwarka is very nice." So he went to Dwarka and he became completely ecstatic. Sometimes he saw Krishna there in Dwarka playing a flute. And then Gopal Kumar became very, very happy. But then other times, Krishna would manifest a foreign form. And then whenever Krishna would go, there'd be these big lines of Brahmins, and they're all reciting prayers. Om Sahasra Sirsa Purusaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sabhumindishvato Vitya Atyatista Dasangulam. And describing how Krishna has thousands of heads and thousands of arms and thousands of eyes. Gopal Kumar, come on. He wasn't very happy in that place either. So he was thinking, "What's wrong with me? Why I can't fit in anywhere? Why this is the topmost place?" So then at that time, two people that called him aside, Narad Muni again came to that place in Uddhava. And Narad Muni gave him some instructions. Idam tu vittam sarvatra gopaniyam sadasatam visheshato maheshraya prakata parabhumisu. He said, "Hey, psst, come here." He looked both ways to make sure that nobody was listening. He said, "I'm going to tell you a big secret." He says, "Gopaniyam sadasatam," that you should keep this a secret always. Visheshato maheshraya, from people who are very fond of worshipping the Lord in opulence. He said, "This is a very special instruction." And what is that instruction? Very interesting thing, he told him. Svasyo navasyate pesha. Kritvaham sapatam bruve dusadyam tapatam yatra tasadhanam api dhruvam. He says, "In front of you and Uddhava, I vow that I speak the truth." Satyam. He says, "Here in this place, you can't get the place that you want. Nor can you get the means to attain the place that you want." And what is that place? That's Golok. You can't get that place, nor can you achieve the means to get it. Now, why does he say, "Svasyo navasyate pesha," in front of Uddhava? Why does he say that? Because Uddhava knows Braj. And he's saying that in front of Uddhava. In front of Uddhava, "I swear I'm telling the truth." And why does he say that, "I swear I'm telling the truth"? Because he thinks Gopal Kumar might tell him, "Look, Narad Muni, come on, give me a break. How many times are you going to tell me some better place? Is there something after this?" So Narad Muni says, "Okay, look, I'm very sorry." In effect, "I'm promising you that this is the topmost instruction now." We can understand that. And he's saying it because in front of Uddhava, "Svasyo navasyate pesha." In front of Uddhava, I'm saying. And what is that thing? Kintu upadesham hitamekam etam matashinu shri purushottamakyam. He says, you should hear. Kintu upadesham. You should hear one upadesh, one instruction from me. Not far from here, there's another place which is known. It's Purushottam Ketram Taratrapi Vibhakti Dure Purvam Tvayayad Buvidristamasti. This place is very splendidly manifest. This is the same place that you saw on the earth planet. This is also an important pramana. If we contemplate on it, we can see that there's some significance to this point. By this verse, Narad Muni is indicating that Sri Ketra, Jagannath Puri Dham, is a Nitya Dham. Because it's present in the spiritual world. There's a manifestation of it in this earth planet, but there's also a manifestation in the spiritual world. And what goes on there in that place? Tasmin Subhadra Balaram Samyutas Tam Vaivanodham Purushottamo Bhajet Chakre Sagobardana Brinda Katavi Kalinda Jatiribhuvi Svayam Hiyam. He said, there in that place you'll find Tasmin Subhadra Balaram Samyutas. You'll find Balaram, Subhadra, and Krishna there. Tam Vaivanodham Purushottamo Bhajet, in that place known as Purushottam Ketra. Chakre, but he says there's another three things which are also found in this place. And what are those three things? Chakre, Sri Govardhana, Brinda Katavi, Kalindaja, Tira Bhuvi, Swayam, Yam. Bhuvi, Swayam, Yam means that they're manifest, these three things, Govardhan Hill, the Vrindavan Forest, and the Jamuna River. These are the three things that Radharani, she wants. Yatra Vrindavano Nasti, Yatra No Jamuna Nadi, Yatra No Govardha Nasti, Tatra Mena Mana Sukham. I have no happiness, so these three things aren't to be found. And Narad Muni, he's telling Gopa Kumar, these three things are found in this place. And what is the nature of this place? Who is the Lord there? Sarvavataraika Nidana Rupas. Tatach charitrani chasantanoti yasmai charocheta yarasya rupam bhaktahayatasmai kaludarshayatat. There you'll find avatari, Krishna, the source of all the incarnations, enjoying many pastimes there. And he says there that bhaktahayatasmai kaludarshayatat. For that devotee who finds pleasure in him, the Lord reveals his own form. This is also a very significant verse. In the beginning of our talks, we spoke something about how Jagannath Puri Dham is known as Das Avatar Ketra. It's a place of the 10 incarnations. This is the explanation of why. Because it's a place of Avatari, Krishna. Nowhere else do you find the deity who wears the Vamana Vesh, Macha Vesh, Kuruma Vesh, these different dresses of the Das Avatar, as they do with Lord Jagannath and Puri. And why is that? Because he's Krishna. He's the source of all incarnations. And for a devotee who takes some pleasure in him, in seeing him, not thinking of him as we described in the first day as Lord Ramachandra, or as Buddha, or as Jesus, or as a cultural symbol, or this or that. For those devotees who take pleasure in seeing him, Jai Rupa Chinche Dasi Se Rupa Hoi, he reveals his own form. Therefore he says that, what is the nature of this place? Sri Krishna Devasya Sada Priyam Tat. That this place is very, very dear to Krishna. How dear is it? What is it like to him? Ketram Yata Sri Mathura Tataiva. It's just as dear to him as Braj. Mathura. Braj, another name for Braj is Mathura. And what is the nature of that place? Tat paramaishvarya bara prakasha lokanusari vyavahari ramyam. This place is tat paramaishvarya. It's a very, very opulent place. Bara prakasha. Tat paramaishvarya bara prakasha. Not just paramaishvarya, but paramaishvarya bara. Very, very great, great opulence is manifested there. But Lokanusari Vyavahari Ramyam. It's also Ramyam. It's also a very, very sweet place. So this is a pramana. All three things are found in Jagannath Puri. There's Aishvarya. There's Odarja. There's Aishvarya opulence. There's Odarja, magnificence. And there's Madhurja, sweetness. But this sweetness is covered by the Aishwarya. But a very amazing thing about the Aishwarya in Jagannath Puri is that it doesn't weaken the love. The nature of Aishwarya is that it weakens the love of the devotees. And we spoke something about that on the first day, about how Arjun, when he saw Krishna's Virat Roop, his universal form, he snapped to attention and began to offer prayers. Hey, Deva, Deva, Jagat Pate, oh, I made a big mistake. Please forgive me, eating off the same plate with you, laying down in the same bed with you. You're God. You're the Supreme Person. This is not good. Huh? Krishna's, Arjuna's sweet affection for the Lord disappeared in the light of Krishna's opulence. But in Jagannath Puri, that opulence doesn't weaken the love. Rather, it enhances the love. One of Lord Jagannath's opulences is that sometimes you can't see him. For the Western devotees, we can hardly see him at all. You go there and they say, hey, Prabhashini Shade. And they glare at you. And if you try to go inside, they'll take sticks. And it'll get worse. Huh? So we can't see the Lord. That's a very big kind of opulence. But that doesn't weaken the love of the devotees for Jagannath. Rather, it enhances it. And when Lord Jagannath comes out in his Rath Yatra cart, the devotees, they cry. They feel very happy. One friend of ours once was told by one of the pandas, he said, oh, you're very unfortunate. You're a Videshi, you're a Westerner, you can't go inside and see Lord Jagannath. My friend said, no, actually, I'm more fortunate than you. And the pandas said, huh? How is that? He said, I don't have to go inside to see Lord Jagannath. He said, Lord Jagannath comes outside to see us. So there's a special kind of mellow in that thing. So these are some pramanas from Sanatana Goswami, but someone may protest, they may say that sometimes in a literature, that literature may give some glorification of some place for maybe some other purpose. Just like many times if you read in Padma Purana, in Padma Purana there's a description how Bhadrakashram is the topmost place and how Rameshram is the topmost place and Pushkar is the topmost place and there's no place better than this, and it always says like that. To give faith to the devotees in that place. So someone may have some doubt. They may say, this is okay, you're quoting Sanatana Goswami. But Sanatana Goswami, he's an acharya, but you should quote Shastra. So there's some Shastra Pramanas to this also. In the Purusha Bodhani Shruti of the Atharva Veda, it's described that Yatta Bhargavi Jamuna Govardhanana Ratna Samasanam Bhimala Sadosa Chandika Sadosa Gopyaha. This is from Purusha Bodhani Shruti, the Atharva Veda. Purusha Bodhani Shruti, by the way, is cited, quoted by Rupa Goswami in Ujjal Nilamani. It's a literature which is only found in its complete form today in Orissa. Its living form, the Brahmins there still recite it. Because Orissa is the only place traditionally in India where Radharani is worshipped, even before Radharani was worshipped in Braj. In terms of the deities in Braj, Radharani was worshipped in Orissa. And to this day, even the Smartas in different places in Orissa, they observe Radhastami. And there's a group of Brahmins who are coming in this sukha, this line of the Atharva Veda, the Purusha Bodhani Shruti, and they've memorized this thing. So there it said that Yatta Bhargavi Jamuna. In Jagannath Puri, the Jamuna River is a Bhargavi. The Bhargavi River is that river which goes around the outskirts of Jagannath Puri. Govardhana Ratna Simhasanam. That Govardhan Hill is a Ratna Simhasan, the jewel throne that Lord Jagannath sits on. Bhimala Sadosa Chandika Sadosa Gopyaha. And the 16 Shaktis in Puri, headed by Bhimala Devi. They're actually the 16 gopis of Braj, meaning the Asta Sakis and the Asta Manjaris. So this is some pramana from Purusha Bodhani Shruti. Similarly, in Vaishnava Yamala, it's described, Matara Dwaraka Lila Yakaroti Jagokule Nilachala Stita Krishna Sta Eva Rajati Prabho. Whatever pastimes Krishna performs in Matara, meaning Braj, Dwarka and Gokul, all those same pastimes take place in Jagannath Puri Dham. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he writes in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila chapter 22, text 132. Prabhupada writes, one should congregationally chant the holy name of the Lord and reside in Vrindavan. And he says, Navadvip Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, and Vrindavan Dham are considered to be identical. He says like that. So, now we want to try to start gathering some of our strings together and speak something about how it is that Jagannath Puri is Nava Vrindavan. We have some Shastra Pramanas about this thing, and there's a few other Pramanas also. It's described in Skanda Purana, second section, canto 2, text 13, chapter 13, text 12 to 13. Tapa pravata sasit stali brindavan opama sarasta dagarasa si nadi bi sobitastara nana druma latabishcha sarva ritu phala pushpakai madhu mutta durifanam. The Lord Shiva, he performed some penance on the Bhargavi River, and he became known later as Kapoteshwara Mahadev. That Shivji, he's still there in the Bhargavi River. And he, doing his penance, suddenly he saw Krishna gave him some dham spurti, some vision of Jagannath Puri. And he saw that it was Vrindavan. He saw many wonderful rivers there and lakes and trees and groves and bumblebees and different flowers and animals of Braj. He saw that thing. Similarly, Gopakumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he also had a similar vision. Similarly, in Jiva Dharma, Thakur Bhaktivinoda describes about two devotees who had gone to Braj. And one of them, doing his bhajan for his Gurudev, he had a vision in Jagannath Puri that Jagannath Puri was non-different from Vrindavan. And that connection is an interesting story which we touched on earlier. And that is of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in the Gambira, he would the devotees would lock him in his room. It's like sometimes we lock a child in the room as being naughty. So the devotees loved Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was doing things. He was rubbing his face on the wall, blood was coming, and sometimes he would disappear from the room. So Govinda was sleeping outside the room, and one night he heard Mahaprabhu chanting on the inside, and then after some time, he found that the chanting had stopped. So he got up and opened the door to see, and he found Tina Tware Kapota, Prabhu Yaina Bahire, Kabu Singh Adware Pari, Kabu Singh Dunire. It says that although the three doors of the house are always closed, the Lord would nevertheless go. He would go out, and sometimes he would be found at the Jagannath temple in front of the Sinhadwara gate, and sometimes the Lord would fall flat into the sea. Why is it mentioned in this verse about the Sinhadwara gate, and why is it mentioned about the sea? There's some significance to it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in his Bengali purport to this. He says that Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani. And Radharani, where does she go? Where does she tell Jatila and Kutila that she's going? Every day at noontime, she goes to Suryakund. So there's some reason why they mention the Sinhadwara gate, why they mention the river there. In another place, it's mentioned that the devotees, when they went looking for Mahaprabhu, they went, when Mahaprabhu disappeared from inside the Gambira, it's described that they went to four different places. They went to the Sinhadwara gate, which here is mentioned, is where they found him. They went to the Gundicha Mandir. We can understand why they went to the Gundicha Mandir, because Mahaprabhu was regularly going there at the time of Rath Yatra. They went to Brahmagiri. It's quite a long walk from Jagannath Puri, looking for Mahaprabhu. And the fourth place it's mentioned is that they went to Konark. Now, in America, I remember there's a very stupid joke, excuse me, about a person who's standing underneath a street light and he's looking for something. And so someone comes and says, did you lose something? Can I help you? He said, yes, I lost some of my money. He said, oh, I'll help you. He said, where did you lose it? And the fellow says, well, I lost it a couple blocks away over there. And he said, well, why are you looking here? He said, because there's some light here. There's no light over there. So it's a stupid joke, right? Only a stupid person would do like that. So why would they go to Konark? Why would you go looking for something in a place where there's no question? Konark is only mentioned twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once, Mahaprabhu saw the ocean as a Jamuna, and he jumped into the ocean, as he sang here in this verse, that the Lord fell flat into the sea. And the water took him to Konark, all the way to Konark, and one fisherman captured him in his net. You know, when a fisherman's always looking for the big fish. So he felt something very heavy in his net. He thought, oh, very, very good day. So then he pulled that net, very difficult, out of the water. Fishermen are always somewhat superstitious, you know, because so many of them die out to sea. And they have big sharks sometimes and things which eat them and that. So they're always praying to the Lord for protection. And so he saw, when he pulled that net in, that there was a dead body in the net. And he became very frightened by this thing. So then he wanted to undo the net and dump the body back in the water. And somehow he touched that body. And then when he touched the body, he became completely terrified, because a ghost entered him. And all of a sudden, he started chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he couldn't stop chanting, Krishna, 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 like this. And he became very terrified. What is this? So then he started praying. Started praying to Lord Nisringadev. But that only made it worse. He didn't know what to do. He's crying. It was a very bad thing. Meanwhile, Subhadamara Goswami, Roy Ramananda Govinda, and the other devotees, they were looking for Mahaprabhu. And they had gone to Konark. And they saw some fisherman wandering around like a mad person, crying and crying. And Subhadamara Goswami went and said, hey, thou, stop, diddy diddy. He said, I'm a famous exorcist. I can help you. What's the problem? And he said, oh, very good, you're here. I have a big problem. I have this ghost inside of me, and I don't know what... He said, Achacha, what happened? Oh, I touched a dead body. Where is that dead body? Please tell us. So he brought him to the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was covered with sand, and he was laying there, and his body was elongated, and all the joints of his body were disjointed, and there was no breath in Mahaprabhu. It looked like he was dead. And the devotees then came close to his ear, and they began chanting, Krishna, Krishna. And Mahaprabhu regained external consciousness. And he said, hey, why have you brought me back here? I was enjoying pastimes. I was seeing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the Jamuna River. Krishna was grabbing the gopis and doing so many naughty things. And now why have you brought me back here to this place? He was complaining like that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta raises a question. Why did they go to Konark to look for Mahaprabhu? If Konark is only mentioned twice, it's mentioned in connection with this fisherman. And it's mentioned that when Mahaprabhu disappeared from the Gambira, that they went to Konark looking for him. So Bhaktisiddhanta says that they weren't foolish like this person looking into the streetlight. But they were going there and looking because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was regularly going to Konark. Why was he going to Konark regularly? Because Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is going every day to the Surya Mandir to worship the sun god. And Konark is a temple of the sun god. So in the same way, Mahaprabhu was going every day to Konark. In Radha Bhava Duti Subali Tam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. To worship the sun god. So, some other questions arise in this regard. What is the difference between Mahaprabhu's Leela in Navadvip and his Leela in Jagannath Puri? Earlier I described that Mahaprabhu, in his pastimes in Navadvip, he was relishing Vipalamba Bhav, the mood of separation. He's crying in separation from Krishna. Navadvip Dham is a place of separation. And as we've described, Jagannath Puri Dham is also a place of separation. What is the difference between the two? What is the necessity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to Jagannath Puri? We can understand perhaps something now why he didn't stay in Vrindavan because this is a place of union. And if he was here in this place, then his Krishna Varna came, he lost that Gaura Varna, and the flute would come, and Shikipucha, the peacock feather. So he couldn't stay in that place. So he realized, I have to go to Jagannath Puri. Because to relish Radha Bhav, to relish the topmost ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, one has to feel separation. Because Radharani's topmost ecstasy is known as Madanakya Mahabhav, which is the ecstasy she feels in separation from Krishna. So Mahaprabhu couldn't relish that thing in Vrindavan. Although it's described that his ecstasy increased so many times on the way there. These are many technical things. I'm not going to touch on, I'm just going to touch very little on these things. There's many more things that can be said, but it's a very high subject. Rupa Goswami in Ujjal Nilamani describes as four types of mukhya sambhog, of meeting. The topmost of which is called Sudare Prabhas. The Sudare Prabhas is when Radha and Krishna are united after a long separation. So when Mahaprabhu is going to Vrindavan, he's beginning to relish something of that Sudare Prabhas. He's tasting that thing. And in anticipation of union, he's having so much ecstasy. But then coming to Vrindavan, he realized that he can't taste this thing there, that he has to go to Jagannath Puri to taste it. But still the question arises, why not Navadvip? And what is the difference between Gaura's Navadvip Leela and his Puri Leela? This is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 3, text 32.
Tamalilaya tanra vishram baranam bhakti rase bari la dari la bhutadram.
He says that in his early pastimes in Navadvip, Mahaprabhu is known as Vishvambar because he floods the world with the nectar of devotion and he saves the living entities. In the next verse he says,
Dubindaturata poshana dharana pushila darila prema diya tribhuva.
He says the bijdhatu, dubrin, which is the root of the word Vishvambar, indicates nourishing or maintaining. So Mahaprabhu in his Navadvip Leela, he's doing poshana and dharana, as described in this verse. He's nourishing and maintaining the universe, and therefore he's known as Lord Vishvambar. Then in Adi Leela chapter 14, text 19, Nilambara Chakravarti, he gives another explanation of Vishvambar.
Sarva lokera kari behandarana poshan.
When he gives his name, Nilambara Chakravarti gave his name to the son of Mother Sachi, he said his name will be known as Vishvambar because he'll protect and maintain all the worlds. But Kaviraj Goswami describes in Adi Leela chapter 3, text 34, why Mahaprabhu is known as Sri Krishna Chaitanya after he takes sannyas.
Sesha lilaya dare nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sri Krishna janaye sabha visha kaile dhanya.
He says in his later pastimes he's known as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He blesses the whole world by teaching him about the name and fame of Lord Sri Krishna. So, this work of Vishvambar, this is the work of the Vishnu expansions of the Lord to maintain the universe. This poshana and dharana, to nourish and maintain the universe. That's the work of the Vishnu expansions. But in his Puri Leela, he's performing the pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, meaning that He gives everyone the consciousness, the chaitanya of Sri Krishna. So these pastimes are very, very intimate. In Krishna's Braj Leela, his topmost pastime is described as a Rasa Leela. And we described some little thing about that Rasa Leela when we spoke about Imli Tal. Imli Tal, that tamarind tree on the bank of the Jamuna, is a place where Krishna performs his Rasa Leela pastime, near there. And we described that in that place, Radharani became mad. She became sulky and she left, and Krishna went looking for her. And then Krishna sat down underneath that Imli Tal tree and began crying, "Radhi, Radhi." And then his Krishna Varna became the color of Radha. And later Mahaprabhu came to the same place and he began chanting Krishna, Krishna. And his Gauravarna became Krishna Varna, the color of Krishna. And then he felt, "This is not good. I have to leave this place. Otherwise I can't taste Radha Bhav." So Krishna performs different, he performs Rasa Leela in different places. That Rasa Leela at the Jamuna is known as Panchayati Rasa. It's a common Rasa Leela. A higher place is Krishna's Rasa Leela that he performs at Govardhan. Rupa Goswami confirms this in his Upadeshamrita. You can look in the later verses of that book if you'd like. In this Panchayati Rasa, on the bank of the Jamuna, all the gopis are present there. Saibya and Bhadra and Chandravali, and so many different types of gopis are there. The Rishi Chari gopis and Muni Chari gopis, they're all present there. And the rasa is not so thick. It's not so sweet. And therefore Radharani becomes angry and she leaves. Don't think that Radharani's anger is like our anger. It's like in the material world, a girl becomes angry because her husband hasn't bought her a nice enough sari or hasn't taken care of her nicely. Radharani's anger is not like that. Radharani is simply made out of love for Krishna. Radharani became very angry and upset in that Rasa Leela because she said, "This is not good. Krishna can't get full pleasure in this place because it's mixed with so many different conceptions. So many different gopis on a lower level, they're also present here. So this is not good. I want to stop this thing." And so Rasa Biharani, the heroine of the Rasa Leela, Srimati Radharani, she left that place. And Krishna went running after her. And then later on, in the summer, in the fall season, in the month of Kartik, there's another Rasa Leela which takes place at Govardhan. And that Rasa Leela is much, much more intimate. It's much more satisfying for Krishna because that Rasa Leela is Radharani, with Radharani and with the Astasakis and Astamanjaris. It's a more confidential, intimate thing. In Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvipa and Jagannath Puri, as we described yesterday or the day before, he's relishing much the same thing. He's relishing Gopi Bhav. Srivas Thakur's house is considered to be the Rasa Stali. He's relishing that thing there. But who's present there? So many different devotees are present there. Narad Muni, in the form of Srivas Thakur, is there. Advaitacharya is there. Mahavishnu. Even Sachi Mata. She's present there. It's not very thick. It's like this Panchayati Rasa. There's so many different personalities present there. So Mahaprabhu goes to Jagannath Puri, and in Puri, he's relishing Radha Bhav. But who is he relishing Radha Bhav with in Puri, in the Gambira? Only a very few devotees. He's relishing with Swarup Damodar and Roy Ramananda. Every day he's going and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. Who is Gadadhar Pandit? It's Radharani. Who is Roy Ramananda? Vishakha Sakhi. And Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi. If we have a drama, and in the drama, somehow by great good fortune, all of you elect that Madhavananda, I should play the role of Pradosh in the drama. Okay, so I don't know how to do the role very nicely, even though I know Pradosh something, but still, I'm not very good at it. So I may ask Pradosh, "You please give me some tips, some hints, how to play you in this drama." But he's a very shy person. He won't tell me anything. So I have to go to some very intimate friends. I have to go to Sarn. and ask him, you please tell me, what is the mood, the inner mood of Pradosh? And he can tell me that thing. He knows even better than Pradosh. So suddenly when Krishna wanted to taste the love of Radharani, it's described by Lochan Das Thakur that Krishna approached Radha and said, hey Radha, you please give me your love. Please give me your bhav. I want to taste this thing. He's very greedy, very eager to taste. And Radharani, she said, what do you want with my miserable feelings for? She said, I'm a Pagalini. I'm just a mad woman. I'm always rolling on the ground. I'm always crying and dust is going all over me. You don't want to taste my bhav. She wouldn't give it to him. But he wanted to taste that thing. So he required the assistance of some personalities who were so intimate with Radharani that they knew her in some ways even better than Radharani herself. And those two personalities are Lalita and Vishakha. And Gadadhar Pandit Radharani is just nearby at Tota Gopinath, watching everything and dictating something to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu is there and he's relishing this thing. He's relishing something that he can't relish even in Nabadweep. He had to leave Nabadweep. He had to leave his mother. There was some general relishment there. Even they were relishing Gopi Bhav. But still, he wanted to relish something more intense, the intense emotions of Srimati Radharani. And so to do that, he had to go to Jagannath Puri. And he had to taste his separation. When Mahaprabhu went to go to Puri, there was some discussion with Sachimata. And Sachimata, she asked Mahaprabhu, she said, you please don't leave. And Mahaprabhu, he can't refuse that thing when Sachimata is requesting. So he made some requests from her. Ke ha jenae boli nakwade nindan se yukti kayate rahe dui dharma. He said, you please make some arrangement so that I won't leave you, and at the same time people won't criticize me for staying with my relatives after taking sannyas. So Sachimata, she gave a reply. Tate yukti bhala muramane loya nila chale rahe jari duikaya hoya. She says, I think this is a good idea. In my opinion, if Nimai, if he stays at Jagannath Puri, he won't leave any of us. And at the same time, he can remain aloof as a sannyasi. Thus, both purposes are fulfilled. What does she mean? He won't leave us. Jagannath Puri is a long ways away from Mayapur. And then she says in the next verse, Nila chale nabadvipi jena duigar. That Nabadweep and Jagannath Puri are two rooms in the same house. Sometimes people, they cite verses from the Padma Purana spoken by Shivji to Parvati Devi to try to indicate that there are three expansions of Radharani. Sadashiva, he says there, Shakti samyogini kama bhama shakti vyogini vyogini ladini kittida putri chayvam radha tvayam braje. So that Shiva said that in Braj, Radharani, she has three different moods. As kama, samyogini shakti, bhama, vyogini shakti, and kittida putri, ladini shakti. Some people, they take this verse to say that she has three different forms. But it doesn't say that. It's just saying that she has three different moods. We know that when Radharani expands herself, Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta, that she expands as the Mahishis, the queens. She first expands as a gopis in Braj, and then as a Mahishis in Dwarka. But nowhere is there any description given of any expansions like this. Mama Pranishvara Krishnas Chaktva Brindavanam Kvachit Kadachin Naiva Yati Ti Jani Ti Kirti Dasuta Kama Bani Najani Ta Iti Chabamanandana Rasaramba Ivanta dim gata van nandanandanaha maturim maturana to vasudevo jagamaha antarhite nandasute srimad brindabane mune. Kirtita Sutta, she knows that my Praneshwara Krishna never leaves Vrindavan for any reason, so she's always here. But Kama and Bhama don't know this. So when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, then at that time, and goes to Mathura, then Kirtita Sutta Radharani, she experiences this Vipralamba Ras, known as Prabhas, the feeling when the lover has gone to a distant place. And so for this reason, the rishis, they know this thing is prabhas, separation. So Bhama Radha, she thinks that my Lord, he's left me. And so she commits suicide and drowns herself in the Kalindi. She enters the celestial sphere of Gokul and she attains Samyog Ras union with Krishna. But Kama Radha, being terribly afflicted by Krishna's separation, she goes to Kurukshetra under the pretense of the Tirtha Yatra and sees Krishna there. So some persons, they try to say that these are three different personalities. But it's not said like that in the Sanskrit, if you study it. They're the same person, but different moods. It would be like, maybe I might say that Bipin, there's the Bipin is in the house. And I might say, well, there's the toilet Bipin, and there's the kitchen Bipin, and there's the bedroom Bipin. Because when he goes to a different room, there's a different Bipin. The toilet Bipin is a different Bipin than the kitchen Bipin. But it's the same person. He's just doing a different activity there. He has a little different mood. So it's the same Radharani, but her mood is just different in these different places. So that Radhika, she's feeling separation from Krishna. And Mahaprabhu, he comes to taste those feelings of separation. It's described in the book Prema Vilas by Nityananda Das. Very nice thing. Mahaprabhu. He speaks to Lord Nityananda Prabhu when they were on their way to Jagannath Puri. Prabhu kahin shri patumi koravadan jaystane basite sukha se jamastan jainimita charya ainu. He says, Prabhu Kohan, Sripad to me. Hey, Sripad, you listen. Listen, Nityananda Prabhu. He says, that place, Jaystani Basile Sukh, that place where you get happiness, Sei Janmastan. That's really your birthplace. He says, Jay Nini Tachadiya, Ainu Nilachala. It's for this reason that I'm going to Nilachala. That I'm going to Jagannath Puri Dham. Because there in that place, I get some happiness. I get some satisfaction there in that place. So therefore, for that reason, our acharyas, they describe that Jagannath Puri Dham is non-different from Vrindavan. This Jagannath Ashtakam is a very important prayer. Among scholars, there's some difference of opinion. Some persons say that Jagannath Ashtakam was written by Shankaracharya, the Adi Shankaracharya, who's an incarnation of Lord Shiva. Others say that it was written by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're not scholars or pundits, so we can make any comment on that. But one common thing that we can say is that in the editions of this Jagannath Ashtakam, it's described there that it's emanated from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So whether it was written by Shankar or written by Mahaprabhu is not really of so much importance to us. The point is that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the fact that Mahaprabhu accepted these prayers. And what do these prayers describe about Lord Jagannath and Puri?
Kalindita Vipina Sangita Karavo Kadachika Kadachika. Bhata Swami Nayana Bhata Gami
The last line of every verse in Jagannath Ashtakam is the same. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. This line in and of itself is very significant. It indicates that Jagannath Puri Dham is a place of separation. The place where the devotees are praying to Krishna and Jagannath, oh please, please be manifest before me. And who is Jagannath? This verse describes in a very, very clear way that kadachit kalindi tatanavipina sangi takaravo. He's Krishna, who's going on the bank of the Jamuna and making a very nice concert with his venu, his flute. And mudabiri nari vadana kamalasvaramadupa. He's just like a bumblebee who's tasting the beautiful lotus-like faces of the gopis at Braj. Rama Sambhu Brahma Marapati Ganesha Chitapado. But in this place, there's some opulence. The demigods are also there, and they're worshipping him. And they're not understanding this intimate pastimes of Krishna. They see him in an external way. So what is the form of Lord Jagannath? Mahaprabhu goes on to sing. In his left hand, he holds his flute. On his head, he has a peacock feather. On his hips, he has very fine yellow silken cloth. Out of the corners of his eyes, he's casting sidelong glances upon his loving devotees. Who are those devotees? The gopis of Braj. Sadashimad Brindabana Basati Lila Parichayo. He's always staying in Vrindavan and always manifesting his pastimes there. This is Lord Jagannath. We'll go ahead to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth verse, a very important verse. Parabrahma Pida. Some say that this indicates that he's the ornament on the head of Lord Brahma. And you could interpret it like that. But another meaning is that we have in this one. Let's see. He's the ornament adorning the head of Parabrahman, the supreme spiritual reality. What does that mean? It means that of all the different forms of the Lord, he's the ornament. He's the topmost, Lord Jagannath. Because he's Mahabhav Prakash. Because he's Madhurja Rasa Ganayiti Sri Murti. He's a condensed form of conjugal mellow. Now you may doubt that this is the same Jagannath. But he says, Nibasi Niladro Nihita Charano Nanta Sirasi. He resides in Nilachal. You may ask, well, this is very nice, but where is Radharani? We want to know about Radharani because Krishna never leaves Radharani. Rasanandhi Radha Sarasa Vapur Alingana Sukho. Lord Jagannath, he's always very, very completely ecstatic, bhavuk, because always he's embracing to his heart Srimati Radharani. Mm-hmm. We recently came across an interesting comment about Radharani and Puri. In the book, Lord Jagannath's Temple, Cult and Festivals by Himanshu S. Patnaik. He's one scholar on Lord Jagannath. He's compiled a lot of authentic information about the worship of Jagannath. He writes that during the Navakalevram ceremony, after receiving a Nyasadharu, the log that will become the deities, at that time, the pandas, they do a very interesting thing, which practically no one knows about. They go, and it's a very long story if you want to read about Lord Jagannath's Navakalevram. We've written an elaborate article about it in the Jagannath magazine of Krishna Katamrita. We won't go in that direction now. But suffice to say, it's a very complicated thing to find these trees, very special trees. After they cut these trees down, he says the first thing that they do is they invoke mantra of Srimati Radharani 6 times, and they place that in the new log of wood. That's required. It's required for Lord Jagannath. This is a system they always do. Because Rasanandi Radha Sarasavapur Alingana Sukho. Radharani is embraced very tightly to the chest of Lord Jagannath. Because Jagannath is Radha Viraha Vidura Rup. He's the embodiment of separation from Radharani. We don't see Radharani there. But Jagannath has become ecstatic. Krishna has become ecstatic and manifested this Mahabhav Prakash because he's embracing Radharani to his chest and his heart. So this thing is described there. So yesterday we described something about Lalita Madhav and how Rupa Goswami, he's described this Nava Vrindavan. And this Nava Vrindavan is a place in Dwarka. It's in Dwarka, but it's not in Dwarka. It's actually Vrindavan. They never left Vrindavan, but it seems like it's Dwarka. If Yogamaya Devi had made it in such a way that it seemed like it was Vrindavan, there would be no drama. There would be no excitement. He didn't really leave. But because it really felt like they were in Dwarka, there was some drama there. This Nava Vrindavan is described in many Vaishnavas as being non-different from Jagannath Puri Dham. And we can see that this is a fact in terms of the mood. The mood of Nava Vrindavan is that it's non-different from Vrindavan. This Nava Vrindavan described in Lalita Madhav. This place is non-different from Vrindavan, but it seems like it's in Dwarka. It seems like it's in a place full of opulence. So it enhances the mood of Radha and Krishna. This Nava Vrindavan, by the way, is described elaborately in Lalita Madhav. It's also described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami and also described by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Mukta Charit, slightly in Mukta Charit. So this is an important concept that our Goswamis have given. We don't find this concept elsewhere. That Krishna's going to Dwarka was just a dream. It seems that there's different conceptions of Dwarka. And that the Dwarka that we read about in the Bhagavatam and other different Puranas, it's a very real place there in Gujarat. And Krishna went there, but that was Vasudev Krishna who went there. But the Dwarka that we read about in Lalita Madhav, that's not actually Dwarka. That's Vrindavan. It just seems like it's Dwarka. And Krishna and Radharani never leave. It's not a Vasudev expansion. It's directly Nandanandan Krishna who's enjoying that pastime. But it seems like a distant place. It seems like Radha and Krishna become separated. And by that drama, the rasa is enhanced. So Jagannath Puri Dham, as we cited so many different pramanas, it's non-different from Vrindavan. Chakresa Govardhana Brinda Katavi Kalindadi Chiri Bhavi Swayamayam, described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yatha Bhagavi Jamuna Govardhana Ratna Samasanam is described in Purusha Bodhani Shruti at the Govardhan Hill and Bhargavi River there, the Vrindavan forest is there. These are Shastra Pramanas. It's non-different from Vrindavan, but it's a special compartment of Vrindavan, where the Lord is relishing feelings of separation. Sometimes devotees, when they go to Puri, they ask me, they say, well, where's Radhakund? And where's Shyamakund? And where's this thing and that thing? There's no signs pointing, Shyamakund 1 kilometer this way, or this or that. You don't find those things there. Because if there were little signs pointing every all those places, then you would feel like, oh, I'm in Vrindavan. And then there's no separation. But this place is not different from Vrindavan in terms of the bhav, in terms of the benefit of your bhajan. But there's an extra element there. The element of separation. And if you feel at that place, if Krishna, when he was in Dwarka, in the Lalita Madhava drama written by Rupa Goswami, if Krishna realized, actually I'm just still in Vrindavan, there's no more drama. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he's in Jagannath Puri, he's in Vrindavan. And he's able to taste the highest ecstasies of Srimati Radharani. It's not possible to taste those ecstasies outside of Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan Dham adds to those ecstasies. It's not possible for Mahaprabhu to taste Radha Bhav some other place outside of Vrindavan. The very fact that he's tasting the highest ecstasies of Radharani indicates very clearly that Jagannath Puri is not different from Vrindavan. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is described as Vipalamba Ketra. It's a place of separation. And this house, Vrindavan, known as Vrindavan, there's 3 different compartments. There's Vrindavan Dham, the place of Madhurja. There's Navadvip Dham, the place of Odarja. And there's Jagannath Puri Dham, the place where, in the word of Sanatana Goswami, Paramaishaya Bhara Prakasha, Lukanu Sari Vyavahari Ramyam, is a place of great opulence, but also sweetness, and also munificence. Mahaprabhu is freely giving Krishna praying, the Sarvabhauma Dacharya, the Maharaj Prataparudra, and there's so many persons there. But also, he's relishing Chandidas and Vidyapati, the writings of Dovamangala Thakur, with his very intimate devotees, Srup Thamador and Roy Ramananda. So all 3 things are found there. Another final thing I'd like to try to make a little note, and do you mind if we go a little bit over time? Is that okay? I'm sorry, we didn't time things very well. Sometimes Western devotees, they complain, and they become a little sulky about Jagannath Puri and the pandas. And I feel a little sad because of that. You don't mind. I don't see any reason for that. Sometimes they come to me and they complain and say, hey, Madhavananda, you know some of the pandas, and you should go and you should complain to these people. They should read Bhagavad Gita, you know. There's a difference between the body and the self. And what is this nonsense they're doing like this? So then we like to tell them that, yes, you can blame the pandas for that if you want. But rather than blame the pandas, why don't you blame their boss, the person who's in charge? Why don't you blame Lord Jagannath? Why do you blame his workers, the pandas? It's not their fault. They just have this tradition. They're just simple devotees. Actually, if you go and speak to most of the pandas, they're very kind and gentle. Sometimes on the outside, they're a little harsh. And sometimes in Chandanyatra festival this year, when we were going, they were taking a stick to beat me. We just went like this. And then after a little time, their hearts melt and they become very, very affectionate to you. And you see they have a very sweet inner side to them. That's the nature of Jagannath Puri. On the outside, there's some opulence there. They come with a stick. On the inside, there's some great sweetness. Actually, most of the pandas would be very happy if the Western devotees could go inside the temple. And mark my words, if that day comes, when you go there, you'll learn something about the pandas, because they're very they'll be very happy to have the Westerns there, isn't it, son? They're very, very fond of getting some money, some donations from everyone. So beware if you happen to go there in the future. They're fond of it. They're agreeable to it. Also, the Gajapati Maharaj, he's agreeable to it. Even the head panda, he's agreeable to it. The Adi Shankar, the Shankaracharya Puri, he doesn't like, and he's in charge of the Mukti Mandap, like as we described the other day, the Supreme Court of the Jagannath Mandir. But that's an external consideration. We want to see the internal consideration. We want to blame Lord Jagannath. It's his fault. He's not letting us inside. But what does it mean? It has some meaning to it. We're not the only ones. You should know that there are many, many devotees who are not allowed inside the Jagannath Mandir. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Haridas Thakur, they didn't go inside the Jagannath Mandir. Similarly, Salabeg, Balaram Das. Balaram Das, I think, was going inside, right? Yeah. But Salabeg was not going inside. So many great devotees of Lord Jagannath were not going inside the temple. And they're great personalities. What is Jagannath doing? There are many, many stories we have for this chapter of this topic. We don't have time to recount all of them. But we can describe one which will give some indication, some understanding about the nature of this temple and the nature of the mood of Lord Jagannath. This is written in a Stala Purana called the Lakshmi Purana in Jagannath Puri. It's said there that every year during the month of Magh, the ladies, they perform Lakshmi Puja on the Thursdays of the month of Magh.
Month of Magh.
And on those days, it's very nice. If you go to the small villages in Orissa, it's very nice, isn't it? They decorate all the houses very beautifully. They paint so many nice designs and everything on the house because they want Lakshmi Devi to come. They're inviting her. You please come. Asun, please come and sit. They're inviting her to please come. So, it's described that there was one Chandali, one low-class lady, who was doing very, very nice puja for Lakshmi Devi. She was very, very poor and very low-class. But every Thursday she was cleaning the house very nice. And she was painting very nice diagrams with great devotion on the floor. And she was offering very nice fruits and flowers and things to Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi became so pleased that she went outside the Jagannath Mandir. It's known as the Sri Mandir. And she went to the house of the Chandalini and blessed her. Then when she came back to the temple, she found that the gates were closed. And when she tried to knock to get inside, they said, "Hey, probation, you say, you can't come inside." Huh? And Balaram, he laid some rule down. Balaram told Jagannath, he said, "Hey, Krishna, this is very bad. Here in Jagannath Mandir, we're very first class, we're very pakka. And the smartest, they're worshiping very, very nicely in the Jagannath Mandir, very, very pakka. And we can't tolerate this thing of Lakshmi Devi going outside in this way, insubordinate way, going and visiting this Chandalini. And now she's become contaminated. So she can't come inside the Jagannath Mandir. Probation, you see." They locked the door. So Krishna, he said, "Well, Balaram, I know Lakshmi." And she becomes a little angry sometimes. You had to be careful. And this is a very interesting thing. It's described in the Jagannath Astakam, in the third verse. Ramavani Rama Spuradama Lapanke Uhamukha. That Lord Jagannath, he becomes happy hearing the chastising words of Lakshmi Devi. But that, how do we understand that? Lakshmi Devi doesn't chastise the Lord. That's a Sodini Bhatrika, that's a contrary heroine. But Lakshmi Devi, she's very subservient, she does whatever the Lord says. But in Jagannath Puri, she becomes a little angry. So Krishna told Balaram, he said, "We can do this, but I tell you, I don't think it's a good idea." Balaram said, "She's a woman. What do we care? What strength does she have? Okay, we'll lock her out." So Jagannath said, "Okay, we'll see." So they did like that. And then Lakshmi Devi, she became very angry. Lakshmi Devi is a very powerful personality. So at that time, Lakshmi... she called for the Asavetalas. And she told them, "Hey, you go immediately and you plunder the whole Jagannath Mandir. You take all the wealth and everything away." And they went and they took away all the bhog and all the firewood and everything. And they brought it back to Lakshmi Devi. So some time was going by. And Balaram, he's getting a little hungry. And he said, "Hey, Krishna, what's going on? Where are our servants? They're supposed to cook." And Jagannath said, "You know, I think this may be because of Lakshmi." I told him, Balaram said, "You worry too much. What are you worried for? Not a big thing." So no one is there to cook because Lakshmi Devi, she went on strike. She did a bund. In India, everybody likes to go on bund, right? All the students and everybody, they do a bund and they stop everything. So Lakshmi Devi, she did a bund. Bund means a strike. So all the workers in the temple, they also went on strike and no one was cooking. So Balaram, he said, "Anyway, Krishna, don't worry. You know, I'm a good cook. We'll go and I can cook myself. It's no problem. We're not depending on these women, you know. We're strong men. We don't need these ladies." Krishna said, "Okay." So they went and they find there's no boga there and there's no firewood. And Krishna said, "Balaram, you know, I told you this is trouble." don't worry so much. Hey, this is Jagannath Puri. And we're very famous here. We just go outside, and we go to a few people's houses, and we beg something. And everybody will be very happy to see us, and they'll give us some fruits and vegetables and things, some rice, and we can come back and cook. All right. So they went outside, and they started going to different doors. They would knock, and the lady would come. They would hold out their cloth. Bhumata Bhagavati Bhiksham Dehi. They would beg some alms. Lakshmi Devi, she'd already sent the word out to everybody. So when they saw them, hey, what are you doing here? Get out from here. And they started abusing them with so many harsh words. Get out, go away from here. What are you begging here for? Go away. Krishna Balaram, feeling very bad. Krishna, he told Balaram, he said, I told you, this is very bad. We shouldn't have troubled Lakshmi Devi. Balaram said, why do you worry so much? Something will work out. You do just see. So they were very, very hungry. And they didn't know what to do. And then someone came and told them, you know, that there's one very wealthy lady who's living out by Chakratirtha. She has a very big house there, a very nice house. And she's a kind person. Maybe she'll cook something for you. So Balaram said, see, there's no problem, Jagannath. Let's go. So they went walking by the sand on the beach. So Lakshmi Devi found out about it. It's described in Padma Purana that some people worship Lord Brahma, not so many. More people worship Lord Shiva, but still not everybody. Some people worship Krishna or Vishnu, but not everybody. But everyone worships Lakshmi. Everyone. She has some blessing like that. Even you go to the West, America, or Switzerland or something, you'll see everyone worships Lakshmi Devi, isn't it? So she has very good connections. She put the word out, and Suryadeva, the sun, started making it very, very hot. And Jagannath and Balaram are walking in the hot sun. They have no water, and the sand is burning their feet. And they're going, and finally they come to that house, and they knock on the door, and some mistress comes to the door, and they say, please, we're very hungry. Can you give us something to eat? And she said, well, just a moment, let me go ask my mistress, and I'll be back. And she came back after a moment, she said, my mistress says that she's a very low-class lady, and you're a very high-class person, and that you shouldn't eat, you can't take food in her house, you'll lose your caste. Balaram and Jagannath, what are they going to do? Balaram said, anyway, she should just give us a pot or two, and some rice, and some dal, and some vegetables, I can cook. Yes, yes, I'll go ask my mistress. She gave me, yes, my mistress says, that's okay. So they collected the firewood and everything there, and Balaram was saying, see, Jagannath, no problem. I'm a very good cook, you'll see. And he got the firewood and he said, so Lakshmi Devi, she also gave the word to Agni Dev. So they were trying and trying to light that fire, and there was no fire coming, only smoke, lots of smoke. And right in his face, Balaram, Jagannath, tears are coming down, they can't even light the fire. And Jagannath is saying, Balaram, you know, I told you, this is a big trouble, causing problems with Lakshmi Devi, So then they all of a sudden they smelled some very, very nice fragrance coming from inside the temple. What is that? Oh, really nice, you know. It smells like the way the Lakshmi Devi used to cook for us. So then they realized actually that house, that mistress of that house was actually Lakshmi Devi. So then they said, please, you forgive us. We're very sorry. We made a big mistake. Will you please give us something to eat? We're very, very hungry. So then Lakshmi Devi, she was victorious. All the ladies like this story. She triumphed. And she gave them some prasad. So in this way, Lakshmi Devi sometimes is locked out of the temple. And if you go and you see the Bahuda Rath Yatra, Krishna is very bad. You know that when he comes out for Snan Yatra, this is a very elaborate description. We don't have time for this. It's a very nice topic, but we have no time now. When he comes out, he gets sick. And for 21 days, he's this anavasya period. And Lakshmi Devi, she's such a good wife. She's so nice. For 21 days, she doesn't sleep. She's just taking care of her husband and nurturing him and giving him medicines and taking care. She's a good wife. After 21 days, she gets a little tired and she falls asleep. As soon as she falls asleep, what does Krishna do? He leaves. And he goes to the Gundicha Mandir to see Radharani and the gopis and the Brijbasis. And Lakshmi Devi becomes very, very angry. She wakes up at Hare Panchami a few days later. And she goes out with her procession, her gundas. And they go there and they break part of Lord Jagannath's cart. She chastises Jagannath's pandas, and she comes back to the Jagannath Mandir. And then on the Bahuda Rath, when Lord Jagannath goes to return to the Sri Mandir, he goes to the Jagannath Mandir and he finds the doors are closed. And he tries to go inside and say, "Hey, Prabhashini Shade, you can't come inside. You're forbidden." Lakshmi Devi is very angry with him. He did a very bad thing. For 21 days, she stayed up and didn't sleep, serving her husband. And what is he doing in reciprocation? As soon as she falls asleep, immediately he leaves her and goes to see his girlfriend, the Gundicha Mandir. So he was very, very angry. So Jagannath tries in so many different ways. He had sent some of his pandas, and they go and they sing some songs. And Jagannath, he likes Lakshmi Devi so much. But it doesn't work. She won't hear anything. Finally, after some time, she agrees to allow Balaram and Subhadra inside. She's also angry with them because they went with him. But she agreed. So then there's some more discussion, and Jagannath's pandas, he's saying, "Look, he'll give you a sari. Nice new sari." Lakshmi Devi wouldn't listen. "He'll give you some rasgulas, isn't it?" And they have a special festival. They cook so many rasgulas, which they give to Lakshmi Devi. And finally, Lakshmi Devi, she agrees. But not before Jagannath Bali Subhadra. They have to manifest this, Sunavesh. They have to dress up in solid gold ornaments to pacify Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. So even Jagannath is locked out of the temple sometimes. So don't feel bad if we're locked out of the temple sometimes. There's some purport to it. And we should understand what that thing is. We should understand the nature of separation. It's described by Śrīla Sanātana Gosvāmī in Brihad Bhāgavatamrita. Pragyadyāpi prema kṛtat prayānam yit vicheda davāna lade gatontā santāpa jatena duranta shoka vesena gādham bhavataiva dukham tatāpi sambhoga sukāda pīstutā sakopi nirvacchatāno manorama premoda rasi parināma toduvam tatraspuritta rasikaika vedya. Says that although they're in the forest fire of separation, my gopi beloveds, they're filled with pain, but that pain that they're experiencing is more glorious than the happiness of directly meeting me. This is the nature of Vipralamba. They get more happiness in separation from Krishna than they do in his association. He says that it's indescribable what they're feeling. It's enchanting. It's an ocean of ecstatic love. And he says that only those persons who are rashika, who are very expert and learned in the mellows of spiritual love, only they can understand it. Tachchoka duko paramashya paschach chitam yatapunataya prasanam samprapta samboga mahasukena sambhana vatistati sarvadaiva. And he says that when the pain of their grief ends, they become filled with happiness. And that happiness is greater than what they feel by directly meeting me. They get more happiness. So we should ask a question in terms of rasa, because Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we want to relish some rasa. Who's really fortunate? Who is Jagannath really blessing? Those persons who are going inside the temple every day, and don't mind me, all the exalted Oriyabhasis who are here, who are going inside and maybe they have some abhiman. Yes, I'm an Oriyabhasi, and very nice, I can see Jagannath anytime. Some abhiman might be there. Or those devotees who are outside and are thinking, I'm so low, I'm so very, very fallen, that I can't see Jagannath. I can't go inside because I'm such a fallen person. Who really gets the mercy of Jagannath? The last verse of Jagannathastakam describes it.
Samsaram Jutadaramasaram Sudapate Padachampapanam Nitatimaparam Yadavapate
Haratvam saṃsāraṁ jūtāraṁ asāraṁ surapati. That my life is useless. You please take away this useless existence that I'm experiencing. Haratvam papānam. I'm a very, very sinful person. Please, you take these sins away from me. And who does that? What happens if someone is thinking like that? He says it is very certain that anyone who thinks himself very, very fallen and low like that, then Lord Jagannath bestows his lotus feet upon them. And such persons, they're outside, and what is their mood? They're always crying, Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagani Bhavachume. Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagani. Shri Jagannath Bhadresh Shimari Subhadra Mai Ju Ki Jai. Shri Nava Vrindavan Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Shri Purushottam Ketra Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Shri Madhurja Rasaganaiti Shri Murti Jagannath Ki Jai. Shri Jitani Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Gopremanandi Hari Hari Gopu Samabeda Bhakta Binda Ki Jai. Are there any comments or questions from you?
There's a secret substance which always replaced from an old Jagannath Devi to a new Jagannath Devi. I think it's even blindfold. Is that something new about blindfold?
That substance is known as a Nabi Brahma. And it's a very secret thing during the Navakalevaram festival, which happens approximately every 12 years. It's according to the Tithi of the moon. So it's sometimes it's longer than that. But at that time, they take the old deities and they put them in Koli Vaikuntha. They bury them. They have a graveyard inside of the Jagannath temple. And they bury them there. And they take a mysterious substance from inside of Lord Jagannath. He has a little compartment in his belly, which is known as a Nabi Brahma. And only one priest is allowed to do that. And he's blindfolded and he has cloth wrapped around his hands. He's not allowed to feel it or see it. They say that one priest once, he took the blindfold off so that he could see it, and he died right after that. They say it's a very, very secret thing. And there's many different conjectures what that thing is. We wrote some article about it, also in the Jagannath magazine. You can get more information there than I have fresh in my memory. But Sanatana Goswami, he describes that that thing inside of Lord Jagannath is a pebble. And a pebble. Many Vaishnavas, they say that it's a Shalagram Shila. And was one of the pramanas for that. It's a fact that the king of Nepal, he has adhikar to do adi puja, to worship Lord Jagannath, even before the king of Puri. How is that? He's in Nepal. Puri Raja's in Puri. And some people, they say that it's because he donated some very special Shila, some what they call some living Shila, to Jagannath, and those Shilas are inside of Lord Jagannath.
Living Shilas?
Yeah, something that they say. We have to research more about that. That's all that I know about it. Other than that, as we described in this Pandit's description, Lord Jagannath, when they cut that daru, that tree, they invoke Radha mantra on that daru, that log. So Radharani is placed there. They chant this mantra 6 times and they place it there with Jagannath. But again, Radharani is not there in a seen way. Because if she was there, if we think about it carefully, if you could see Radharani clearly next to Krishna like that, then where would there be separation? And Radha and Krishna, they want to experience, they want to relish this separation. The same kind of separation that Rupa Goswami describes in Lalita Madhava, in this Nava Vrindavan. But if that never Vrindavan, if they're told this is actually Vrindavan, then there's no separation. So if Jagannath can see Radharani right there, if we see Radharani, then there's no feelings of separation. Jagannath is the embodiment of separation from Radharani. Radhavira Vidura Rup. So Radharani, by definition, she can't be seen there. But Rasanandi Radha Sarasa Vaparalingana Sukho. It's described that Jagannath is creating great ecstatic bliss. As Mahabhava Prakash is manifesting, because he's always embracing Radharani to his chest. So that's all that I can say about that, Prabhuji. Is there anything else?
What does it seem like Rob doing these pastimes when Jagra and Mala are getting knocked out?
See, also when they return from Bahudha Rath, because Lakshmi Devi, she's very sulky. In English, you know, we have a saying in America, the hell hath no fury like that of a woman scorned. Mm-hmm. So Lakshmi Devi, for 21 days, it's really bad. For 21 days, she's staying awake. And then Krishna leaves, Jagannath leaves, but he doesn't go alone. He goes to Subhadra with Balaram. So Lakshmi Devi is also very sulky with them too. And she also locks them out, isn't it, Sarna? Huh? And they have to put on the sunavesh, and they have to try to pacify Lakshmi Devi in so many ways. And finally, she becomes a little soft, and she says, okay, Subhadra, you can come inside and Balaram, but not that Krishna. Huh?
So Lakshmi Devi, one of the queens in Varanasi, you don't hear anything about Lakshmi and Krishna.
It's described, just as Lalita Mata describes, that these different Mahishis, the queens in Dwarka, in Lalita Mata, in the Nava Vrindavan, in this Dwarka that Rupa Goswami describes, they're actually gopis. But they're thinking that they're queens. So it seems that Lakshmi Devi and Sri Ambu, the other consorts of Lord Jagannath, are in a similar mood. Otherwise, how is it possible that Lakshmi Devi is developing this mood of a contrary heroine and going and chastising Lord Jagannath and not allowing him inside and doing so many things like that? Huh? It's not possible for the passive Lakshmi Devi. In Puri, I have not found any pramana for this. But there's a local tradition that Lakshmi Devi is Satyabhama. Huh? And we say Satyabhama is Radha. They say like that. So. And they say that when you go to Puri, when you're entering into Puri, we stop at that Durga Maa temple. What's her name? Bhatamangala Devi. Right? And they say that Bhatamangala Devi is Lalita Sakhi. They say the regular Hindus who are going to Puri that if you go to Puri, you have to take blessings from Bhatamangala Devi, otherwise you can't enter into Puri. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas say that Bhatamangala Devi is Lalita Sakhi. And we stop there to ask her blessings before we go into Puri. But again, Jagannath Puri is a place where these things are not grossly manifest. And even today, many devotees I know, they go there and they say, oh, this place is not so nice. I like Vrindavan. You know, I like Punky Bihari and Radha Raman and this kind of mood like that. But Jagannath Puri is a little, it's Durlabha Khetra. It's a place that's difficult to enter into. It's a place of bhajan. It's a very good place. It's a place for bhajan and Kali Yuga. It's a place to do separation, bhajan and separation. It's Vrindavan. But in this Vrindavan, in Jagannath Puri, there's no offenses considered. Jagannath Das Babaji lived in Vrindavan for many, many years. And he was something like 100 years old and he decided, this is not good, I can't stay here anymore. I'm leaving this place. Because I may make some offense here. He said, those people who are really expert in bhajan, they do bhajan in Navadvipa. Because there's no aparad considered in Navadvipa. And Nilachala Navadvipa Jai Dwighar. There's Navadvipa and Nilachala, they're the same place. They're two rooms in the same house. So there's also no consideration of offenses in Jagannath Puri Dham. So that's very good for bhajan. And it's very good for bhajan because it's a place of separation from Vrindavan. And it's very good for bhajan because Vrindavan is actually there. And if you do bhajan very nicely, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Jayavadharma, and Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and Vyasadeva describes in Skanda Purana, in the case of Lord Shiva, you may actually see Vrindavan in Jagannath Puri. Say again? The Shruti Chari Gopis, those are the personified Vedas who became Gopis, and the Muni Chari Gopis, those are Gopis who in their previous life, they were Munis, they were Rishis in the Dandak forest. So that's there. There may be some difference also in their mood. I don't know. So anyway, I thank all of you. I want to say something very honestly. These are not our words, not our conceptions. This is something we're trying to share. And I'm very happy we got to share this with all of you. We got to go on a very wonderful journey, exploration of a very, very special place. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham. Anshakalpa Drubhya Shakya Pasindhya Deva Chantra Vidhanam Prabhupada.